Yeah, that's it. Ready? Good morning, members of the commission, staff, ladies and gentlemen. The planning commission is now in session. Copies of the agenda and material would be on the table in the back of the room by the door. Let's see. There are a few rules and procedures we'd like you to follow. Everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it's your turn to speak, please come to the podium and state your name and address clearly for the record. Those in support of the application will be heard, and then those opposed will be given the opportunity to speak. After that, the applicant will be given an opportunity for rebuttal, and if necessary, those opposed will be given the opportunity to surrebut. We ask that you limit your presentations to 5 minutes or less. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. Additional comments will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with the decision, you may be able to appeal to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing. You can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. Commissioner Hill, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have roll call, please?
Certainly. Commissioner Arabian?
Here.
Commissioner Carver?
Here.
Commissioner Chatha is absent. Commissioner Yule? Commissioner Wolf is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Here.
Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Here. Okay, the first item on the agenda is its consent item. I would like to pull that for discussion, and staff is going to make a comment on that also. Read into the record, if you would.
Consent agenda item number one, general plan conformity, Clovis Unified School District, proposed Terry Bradley Educational Center support infrastructure site, proposing to acquire an approximately 15-acre portion of land from an existing 31.46-acre parcel for the construction of support infrastructure with the related facilities, including wastewater treatment, domestic water well, and solar for a proposed new education center site to be located westernly adjacent in the AE20 zone district. The proposed site is located on the east side of North Highland Avenue, approximately 740 feet south of its intersection with East Shields Avenue, approximately 1/2 mile from the nearest city limits of the city of Clovis and within the sphere of influence of an approximately 1 1/2 miles east of the nearest city limits of the city of Fresno.
Mr. Chairman, staff would request that we pull this item. It's been requested of us that we do so to give some parties some time to discuss this further internally.
Okay, so,
can I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm not sure what, it's on the consent agenda, but I'm not sure what, are we asked to vote? Or like,
we're being
it's
asked
acquisition.
To continue it.
No, I know, but like, what is needed for this application?
You mean what the school is asking for? Staff, you want to explain about school when
sure.
There's issues with schools?
Right. So when a school district wants to purchase land, they need to go to the local jurisdiction and get a determination from them that is consistent with their general plan. And so the action before the planning commission is just make a determination, adopt a resolution, making a determination that it is consistent or inconsistent with the general plan. That does not totally preclude that from happening. I mean, from the school moving forward, if the the local jurisdictions determines that it's not consistent or they don't react, there is a time frame after which they can go ahead and take action. They can adopt a resolution to go ahead despite objections. But it is, gives at least the local jurisdiction a voice in the land use as to whether or not it aligns with their plans.
That answer your question pretty much. Basically, not something we can deny, and it's right. Done.
Right.
Any other questions on that?
Or advisory.
Is this land the same lot that we had in a different application on last meeting?
Yes.
It's across from it, yes.
Well, when you say it's across from it, it's the same property.
It's the same property.
That's the
plan area is, yes. Yeah. But it's not Mr. Simi's property now.
It's the same property, though.
He didn't own the other property.
It was 31.46 acre parcel. That's what was on the 23rd.
Yeah. The exact same parcel.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're correct.
So the question I had, how is it possible that there were two applications for the same property in the system at the same time without us knowing about it?
Well, first of all, they don't make an application. There is not an application. We don't get paid for it. And we get this, and we have a very short time period. So we basically put this together and send it to you within 1 or 2 days. So I don't think at our last planning commission, we totally had all the information.
But you did have the application from the school.
There is no application. There's a letter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You had a letter on February 9th.
Someone didn't. I didn't.
Okay. The planning department had the letter February 9th. And then the reason I bring it up is that was part of the discussion at the last meeting when someone specifically questioned, is there going to be a school there or not? And I don't know that that had any bearing on the decision. Probably it didn't. But that was a question. And it's just odd that they're applying to do this. And then at the same time, the owner of the property is also has an application. I mean, the owner of the property was aware of this. And the owner of the property also had the application for a variance for part of the property. I know it's not exactly the same. It's right. Coming from the same property.
Right.
So that was a concern of mine. One that we didn't know about it. And I don't know. It just seems odd.
Mm-hmm. Leave it at that. It is an odd situation. I agree.
So maybe we'll. Anyway, right now. Do we need to vote on a continuance, or since it was a consent, does staff just pull it?
I think we can just pull it, yeah.
Okay. Well, then if there's questions about the project, we can discuss that when it comes back. So staff is pulling the consent item, and we'll move on to item number 2.
Item 2 or item 1? Public presentations.
Well, thank you. Okay, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for anyone desiring to address the commission on any matter within our jurisdiction, but it's not on the agenda. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to discuss any items not on the agenda? Okay, then we'll go to item number 2. Thank you.
Regular agenda item number 2. Variance application number 4143, filed by Peter Moa, proposing to allow the creation of a 5-acre parcel and a 13.61-acre parcel from an existing 18.61-acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. Subject parcel is located on the northeast corner of Maple Avenue and South Avenue, approximately 2.6 miles west of the nearest city limits of the city of Fowler.
Good morning. The subject parcel is located predominantly in AE20 zone district. The area itself is relatively flat, with homes dispersed and agricultural fields provided throughout. As you can see here, the majority of the parcels surrounding the subject parcel are relatively large in size, The parcels that are substandard in size were created prior to 1960, with three exceptions. There were three variances filed in the 80s and 1990s that requested for parcel creations and were subsequently approved by the planning commissioners. The subject parcel, the applicant wishes to subdivide their parcel into two sections, the parcel one and parcel two. The applicant asserts that there is an extraordinary circumstance based on the high-speed rail traversing the parcel. The applicant has informed me that the lower portion is affected by the high-speed rail. However, staff looks at this and states that the configuration, the desire to subdivide the parcel, does not alleviate any effect of the high-speed rail may oppose, as well as there's no substantial property right in question that this variance seeks to relieve. The applicant has a home created by right and can subsequently create a secondary home within this zone district. As you can see, here's an aerial footage. The applicant wishes to separate their parcel, and it's the applicant's intent to continue farming operation from the larger portion. Applicant states that this is not a unique circumstance. It's no property right is being impinged. And the variance would provide a special privilege, not allowed for everyone else within the same circumstances. Therefore, staff recommends that the four findings cannot be made, as this is not an extraordinary circumstance. There's nothing physically necessitating a parcel creation. There's no property right being impinged, and it is against the intent of the general plan, as this would create parcels smaller than 20 acres. Therefore, staff recommends that you deny this variance. If you have any questions, I'm free to answer them.
Any questions of staff? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would the applicant come forward? State your name and address, please.
My name is Susan Louise Perron, and address 7870 South Maple Avenue, Fresno, California, 93725. And I am the owner of the property. Mr. Moa was not able to attend today. Besides, I have the history of the property. My family moved there when I was 10 years old, and I have since lived there 80% of the following 65 years. I'm a retired nurse, 75 years old. I'm not able to farm the open land. I do have somebody leasing it who's interested in purchasing it. Having lived in this home for so long, I would like to stay there. I also have a horse set up on the 5 acres in question, which are used for a different purpose than the row crops on the other property. As far as the high-speed rail, granted, it's not a huge impact on me personally. It's impact the neighborhood. There has been some interest by my neighbor across the street in using my horse facilities, being their property was much more impacted, and they are professional horse trainers. But I used to run cardiac codes, but this is scaring me more. Anyway, it did reduce my acreage, which was under 20 acres already, making it even more financially impossible for me to farm it personally. The individual that's interested in, who is leasing it right now, has additional acreage on that block, and he has a produce business. Moving right along, I know my neighbor next door has applied for a variance back in 2004, Oh, and by the way, the property came into my name in 2004. My parents, I remember at one point, discussed dividing the property in the 60s, but they couldn't afford it. So I received the property as a grant deed in 2004. I know my neighbor was denied, but he has two homes and a business on 9+ acres, where I have one home on 18+ acres. So it didn't seem to be the same situation at all.
Could you maybe point out where your neighbor's property is? Because
It's the 9.51 that's pointer. Just north Elliot. Of my pointer. Property. Oh, okay. Push there. Okay. So it would be right there. No, I'm okay.
Is it one right about? Okay. But let me ask staff. When I'm looking at the background information, it lists three applications for a variance.
There were three approved applications for variances.
Well, there are two out of the three.
So you don't list the other, any other applications?
At this moment, we only listed the approved variances, as opposed to variances in total.
Oh, why is that? I mean, because then it sounds like that none have ever been denied.
Just to clarify, it's not that it's been approved or denied. It's just, was the application carried forward? Excuse me. If somebody comes in, they talk to staff, they may do a pre-application. It's not an application, or they may start an application and withdraw it. But until it comes to the Planning Commission, there was never a decision. There was never a staff report, et cetera. But it's not that uncommon for applicants to come forward, and when they start to understand that they can't make the findings, that what the limitations actually are, they withdraw their application. So that may be the case. We don't have a record of that one being application that was carried forward.
Okay, do you follow why I'm asking? It's
yes.
So maybe he didn't pursue it. Apparently, it never came to the next step to the Planning Commission or the Board of Supervisors. So either way, he didn't get it. But I was just questioning it because the ones that I saw were eventually approved. So
I don't know what type of approval there was when he put in the business on the property, but okay. That was a long time ago.
Okay. So, and didn't mean to interrupt, but go ahead.
So basically, I'm just hoping to be able to stay on the property. My home is over 100 years old, and basically I need to be able to do some maintenance on it. I've already invested considerable amount in that 5-acre section, including a new house well, new roof, new septic systems, that sort of thing. So that's why it had to be put in my name at that time, so I could get a mortgage to take care of the maintenance on the property, on the home. But I'm hoping to be able to remain living there. And I know that is not going to be taken in consideration in this for this, but is there anything else? I blew my mind.
Have any of the neighbors said anything to you, or have you spoken to any of them?
No, the neighbor to the north, he says, good luck. Of course, I have a neighbor who actually would like to continue to farm the property. And I have the neighbor across the street. She says, I wish I could come today, because, they're horse people, so they understand that horse facilities are, of value. Yeah. I used to breed horses, so.
Okay. Any questions of the speaker? Any other questions? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here opposed to this application?
Good morning. I am the neighbor to the north and across the street, and I did put in an application and it was denied for the same reason. So that's what I want to, I mean, I have no problem just going through for her, but then I want to make sure I can do it for me.
So let me just to clarify, you're not speaking in opposition, but you did if her application, but you did want to make your point. Is that correct?
You guys made a point that I never went through. And I mean, I've tried to get mine split up three different times and it's been denied. And now they say I never went followed through. And I'm trying to understand that.
Could you give your name and address?
Rick Ross. My name is Rick Ross. I own 7828 South Maple. Direct leads to the north, and I own the property across the street that I've been in continued battle with the high-speed rail, and I tried to split that one, and I couldn't split that one. So this is a really big financial deal to me because I have the same problem on farming, trying to farm something less than 20 acres. And
we're really not in a position to discuss your application, but you heard our discussion with the applicant. And I don't know what happened to yours. I'd say talk to staff afterwards if you would, and they can follow up. I would think that they would follow up one way or the other. What we do today doesn't set a precedent. We look at each application individually, but I'd say talk to staff.
Well, I feel like mine set a precedent when it was been denied more than once. That's why I feel mine's been a set of precedent, but maybe that's the only way I could look at it.
Yeah,
but,
I understand that. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. So going back, is there anyone to speak in opposition? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing. There's nothing to rebut. So as far as I understand, would that be correct, Council? Okay, so I'll bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. I think I can make the findings. I don't know if anybody else wants to say something first. Commissioner Hill?
It's the only thing I'm concerned about is that here we are having our ag zoning and we're trying to divide our ag. Whether we're going to be subdividers or are we going to be representing the county with the ag? And so we have to make a decision because if it keeps going, we will not have our ag.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but I would just say that we're starting with an 18-acre parcel, and there's no reason to doubt that the applicant will continue to do her part in ag with regards to horses. The balance of the property would still be farmed. They're not splitting it up more than that, so I don't see the impact with regards to the general plan as happens in other cases. So I think in that case, I'm comfortable there. Any other discussion?
I concur with that. I'm comfortable with it, but I also understand the neighbor's concern, and perhaps this'll send some kind of a message for him as well. But I agree. I can make the findings.
Okay. And again, not knowing what other parcels around there, what the circumstances would be, we're looking at this one. And I think some of the other findings with regards to the circumstances, the fact that this has been in the family for years, that to me, that goes to a substantial property right that she'd like to stay in the house. That the home is over 100 years old, and she has no intention to build another house. High-speed rail is in the area, and it's affecting, as she pointed out, not as much her property, but the neighborhood. So I think I will go ahead and make the motion to approve this. So my motion is to move that the findings can be made as stated and move to approve variance number 4143 subject to the conditions attached as exhibit one and direct the secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the commission's action. Is there a second? Okay, chair made the motion. The second was by Commissioner Zante. Do a roll call vote.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Chatha is absent. Commissioner Ewell?
Yes.
Commissioner Wolf is absent. Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
Okay. This passes 6-0 and is final unless appealed to the Board of Supervisors. Item number three.
Variance application number 4144 and environmental review number 8339 filed by David Harler Jr. proposing to waive the minimum acreage and road frontage requirements to allow the creation of a 2.5-acre parcels from an existing 5-acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The subject parcel is located southwest corner of East Mountain View Avenue and South Willow Avenue, approximately 5.6 miles west of the city of Selma.
Good morning. Similar to the previous variance, this subject parcel is zoned in predominantly AE20 zone district. As you can see, the parcels to the south are substandard in size. However, there are also parcels in the area that are larger than 20 acres. It's the applicant's intent to subdivide their property. There was one variance. However, the variance was not related to parcel creation. As stated earlier, this is not a unique circumstance. The parcel in question, although it is substandard, further creating substandard parcels is not an extraordinary circumstance. That's a physical need to subdivide one's parcel. There's no preservation enjoyment that is needed for the variance to alleviate. As you can see here, the applicant wishes to subdivide the parcel roughly into two. See an aerial footage. As mentioned, no property right is being alleviated. The applicant has the allowed use. He meets all the setbacks required to have a home by right and a secondary home through a different approval, DRA, which is not relevant to the variance. Granting this would be considered a special circumstance, and staff recommends that findings 1, 2, and 4 cannot be made, and recommends the planning commissioners to deny this application.
Is that it?
That's it.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Elliot, could you just maybe explain a little bit more about a DRA?
So a variance is different than a DRA. Typically, applicants assert that they want to create a secondary home, and applicants can go through this, but it's through a different procedure. It's through a director's review and approval. That's what allow for a secondary home to be allowed on one parcel. A secondary home, depending on the size of the parcel, can be no greater than 2,000 square feet. That would alleviate some concerns. Rather than creating a new parcel to have a home, they could continue to maintain the property as is, and staff could have a secondary home through a different procedure. That would bypass the variance.
But you can't sell the secondary home. It would sell with the
property. It would sell with the property. That's correct. And variances should not, as I mentioned before, should not provide any financial incentives for the applicant. We don't look at that. That's not a consideration we would take that into.
So they were not interested in that option, or it wouldn't apply?
The applicant did not apply. They could state the reason why that they choose to do a variance, but a director's review and approval is an option that anyone can have as if they meet all the criteria. And a DRA would not go through the planning commission unless appealed
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions of staff? Thank you. Would the applicant come forward? State your name and address for the record, please. This is
item number three.
Hi, good morning. My name is Elvia Lopez. I'm here on the behalf of Central Valley Engineering and Surveying. David Hardler is no longer with the company, who was the original applicant. Central Valley is at Selma.
Can we get your name again? I didn't catch your name.
Elvia Lopez. And I am here representing our client, who is also here, Daniel Gomez. And yes, we are proposing to split the just below 5 acres. It's actually 4.76 acres to be split into two, as my client wishes to split the property and construct a new home for his parents. His parents are now elderly and wishes to bring them closer to where his residence is. His residence is at where the DRA and the two homes are now. And in the construction of the new home for his parents, he wishes to keep that home and the property for his future generations moving forward. The parcel is a small parcel below 5 acres, so it is not necessarily adequate for large farming, and our client is not currently in farming. If the variance request is to get approved, we do, the property owner has agreed to follow all of the to comply with all of Fresno County regulations. And I'm open to any questions.
On the, maybe we can go back to a different exhibit, exhibit five, perhaps. What's between Mountain View and the applicant's property? I mean, it's sort of an odd shape there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what is between? I think it was better shown in exhibit five, if you could go back. I mean, exhibit four, Elliot. Yeah, that one's, can you repeat the question?
What's between the northern part of the property and the street? Is it a canal? Is it, why is the property shaped like it is?
I'm not sure. I don't think that there's any type of easement. Do you have?
Okay.
The high speed rail bought that piece out, making the shape like that.
Were the owners, we talked about a DRA, Director Review and Approval. Was that an option that they would consider or wanted, knew about? Where they possibly could build a second home on the property and not have to divide the property. I know it's probably more advantageous to split a property, but that could have been the first step to see if they could accomplish that. That's something, or should I ask the applicants?
There is already two homes on the property. So
could you point them out on the pointer where they're?
So this would be one, and this is the second one.
Okay, if we're going to have another speaker, let me first ask if there are any questions of you. Then, thank you. Then if the other speaker would come forward, state her name for the record.
One more thing. To the south, if you could go back, Elliot, to exhibit four. We see that the third property down has already been split into portions of 1 acre. So it's our request is not necessarily too different than what is already in the area, smaller parcels being split. So that's all for me.
With regards to that, often there are parcels in an area that are similar to what you want. Not knowing the history or when it was split or why, it's hard to use that as an example. And usually, at least in the past, when we make a decision, we're told that it doesn't necessarily set a precedent for the area. I mean, we take it into consideration, but it doesn't mean that just because my neighbor got it, I get to do it too.
Understood.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Lopez, before you go, could you please give your address for the record?
Can I give my office?
Business address.
Okay. 2511 Logan Street, Selma. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hello, did I give my name? Okay, Christina Gomez, and I'm at the property 3463 East Mountain View Avenue, Selma, California, 93662. The 2.46, I believe it is, parcel is our home, and then we have a single trailer that our aunt lives at. This is our home right here, and then this is the single trailer. Yeah, there's two homes.
Two homes on that lot already.
And so basically, I just had a baby. So what we're wanting is our parents to move in, and then for us to build a bigger home for ourselves.
So will you have the existing homes on there? You'll keep the two existing homes,
mm-hmm.
and you want to build two other homes on the other lot?
One home.
How are you planning on accessing that from Mountain View? I think I see it.
Yeah, here. From Mountain View, right here.
It's on.
Can you point out where the high-speed rail property is? Because there's also the frontage requirements are being asked to be waived, which I'm guessing is because of the high-speed rail chunk.
I'm not sure, but there is a whole bunch of space right here. The high-speed rail is more over here. There's a good little distance still between us. So it would basically come like right here. Is that your question? Is that answering your question?
Well, this application asks us to waive the road frontage requirements to this piece. And my guess was that it was because the property line doesn't go to Mountain View on the north side. According to our map, it's cut off, right? It's not a full rectangle that
yeah,
goes
and
all the
I'm
way.
Not sure because here it looks like it would be. I mean, I don't know why it looks like that on the. I get your question, what you asked earlier, why does it look like that? But there's nothing coming inside the property that's making it like that.
Then going back to, say, Exhibit 5. Yep, Exhibit 5 is fine, or 4.
The north boundary, I was asking earlier why it's shaped like that.
Yeah. And this is Mountain View Road right here, correct? So that we go up to that road. So
you go up the road?
Yeah, we go up to the road.
You're not aware of any like PG&E, Caltrans, anything easement, county easement in that portion that maybe there's underground?
No, I'm not aware of anything like that.
Could you go to exhibit 4?
There's no gas or nothing like that right there. It's just, yeah, don't talk.
Why would we be waiving the frontage requirement on this application? You know?
I don't know.
Staff, you have a, I mean, in according to your records, property does not go to Mountain View.
It would be the intent for the applicant to waive road frontage requirements on the South Willow Avenue that have access from that area. And because there's that second parcel, parcel 1, doesn't front that road, that's why we waive the road frontage.
Oh, because there's currently not a access point.
That's correct.
Okay. It's gated right there.
On Willow.
Yeah. On Mountain View, I'm sorry.
They would have access from South Willow Avenue. So the reason why they're requesting to waive road frontage is because if the second parcel was created, there's a minimum of 165 feet of road frontage required, and they would not meet it. That's why we're waiving it. They have to have an access easement from Willow Avenue to go through parcel 1 to go to parcel 2.
I understand that, but isn't there 160 something feet of Mountain View attached to it?
I think with the issues with the access and issues with the road front, with the parcel itself, I don't believe they have access to that road, to Mountain View.
What's between it, I guess, would be the question then, between Mountain View and their property, they wouldn't have access.
Yeah. Part of this, we don't have the full information, but when the zoning section looks at these things, I believe what you're seeing is along Mountain View, that triangular take there is for a public right of way that precludes access. The access will have to be taken off of Willow. And again, we don't have any objection to the variance for the road frontage. That's not a concern. But that's the reason why. There are sometimes, obviously, you can't access onto a freeway, an off-ramp, et cetera, even though you are contiguous to it. And so their access would have to come off of via Willow through a easement, but the code requires a road frontage. But we don't see any problem with that. If that were the only thing in the variance, there would be full support for it. The issue before you is this isn't unique because everybody else that adjoins property on the high speed rail or anything else have similar issues. Everybody would like to divide just because they're in the area, but that's all that's the issue is. The road frontage is not a concern for us.
Yeah, but as far as I know, on Mountain View Avenue, there's nothing that's actually prohibiting an entrance there. I don't know if it's because distance from potential high-speed rail, but it's substantially away. I don't see there being a problem with that.
Any questions?
Just quick question to staff. If I understand it, I guess the purpose is try to create a secondary parcel so that they can put a third residence. They can't put the third residence on there because there's already two, which would be non-conforming. But let's say trying to utilize something like Senate Bill 9, which would allow a parcel split.
So that's a good question. But that's not allowed in an ag. Or rural residential zone district has been determined by zoning staff.
Okay.
So if it was in a more of a medium density residential or high density, then they could qualify under those provisions.
Gotcha.
Yeah, SB9 is only for single family zoned property zoning areas. It doesn't apply to the ag.
Yeah. What happens on that 2.3 acres? Is there farming that currently happens there?
No, it's just empty lot. We bought it for the house mostly. And then we're not farmers, so we don't have no use for it, basically.
Any other questions? Maybe just want to go back to the findings that we have to make. And this is a little different from the first one that we passed. Just as I said before, we look at each one separately. What would the substantial property right be with regards to, right now you're on the property of a second residence. I understand you'd want, family to be able to live nearby. Can you address that at all? That you see up on the board there, it's necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the applicant. In the first case, the applicant, the issue was being able to stay there. To me, that's a substantial property right. Owning your own home.
I don't know if this is kind of where this is going, but I guess for us is that we need childcare. We both work full time. I just had a baby a month ago. So for us to have that childcare, we need our parents to kind of be closer and help with that. Right now it'd be really hard for them to help us with that. So this is kind of where we thought it would be best so they could retire on the same property as us and be our full-time childcare.
Any other questions?
Is the property, it's being split. The parcel's being split. Once it's split, is it all staying in the same? Is there any desire to sell one lot?
No, it would stay with us.
Steph, when they, back in 1973, it was zoned A1. And then it was rezoned to AE20. When they did that, could that be a reason that there are some smaller parcels?
That's correct. Typically, you see when we do variances, we go to the background report, parcels that are already substandard in size were substandard in size prior to 1970. Then there's a blanket rezone that happened, and then these parcels are somewhat locked in place. So we always recommend no further parcelization because it's unfortunately in a 20-acre minimum parcel size.
I guess what I was at, like, you have the one-acre parcel, couple of one-acre parcels, a three-acre parcel. Do you think that was created prior to the zoning?
So there are two things. They could either be created prior to 1970, or they qualify for a home site provision. It's in the staff report on finding four. The home site provision have three criteria, one of which the parcel is already existing 20-acre parcel, and they only wish to have up to 2.5-acre parcel for a home site. But it needs to meet certain provisions, and in this case, it does not.
No, but I'm talking about the ones that are below. They weren't part of a 20-acre parcel and split off, were they? Because there's too many like that.
Yeah, so in this case, they were created prior to 1970.
They were created?
That's correct. Otherwise, we have to go through a variance or a home site provision.
And there were no variances?
There were no relevant variances for parcel creations.
Thank you. Is there anything else you want to add? Question of the applicant.
This is Exhibit 7.
Okay.
Exhibit 7, number 2. This is where it was a little bit unclear because it says the purpose of this variance is to allow for the creation of two 2.5-acre parcels from an existing 5-acre parcel. If approved, this variance will allow for the client to have two homes on each lot.
So the applicant can have, if every created parcel can have one home by right. And then you can go through a director's review and approval to have a second home. So you can have upwards of four homes on both parts in total. That's correct.
So earlier, I guess I had it mixed up when I was asking if they had pursued the DRA. That wouldn't have applied in their case. That was not an option for them to to do what they want to do.
That's correct. If you have a third home, but you can't apply for a DRA for a third home. That's correct.
I understand. Any other questions?
This is a question of staff. Is there any other like way that they can apply for a variance to put another home on this parcel without splitting it?
That would be a use variance, which is prohibited. You can't apply for use. Remember, the variance provisions are only supposed to be that the situation of an individual parcel is unique and where they're not given the same privileges and opportunities as other people. Their personal circumstances, desires aren't relevant. Otherwise, we're giving them a special privilege that other people don't enjoy.
I have a question on the two houses. You have a house and a mobile. Who lives in those now currently?
My brother's mother-in-law lives in the trailer.
Okay.
And then we live in the house.
Live in the house. Mm-hmm. So you're wanting the other grandparents?
Yeah. Well, not the other grandparents, just the grandparents, because that's my brother's in-laws.
Okay.
So, yeah, the grandparents.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just one last question for staff. Was the secondary home unit that processed through a DRA then?
I believe so, yes. Mm-hmm.
How long ago, if I may ask, was that one processed?
We don't have currently don't have the information available right now, but
about how long ago did you put in the mobile home?
When we bought it, it was there. So we bought it in 2018 and it was already there.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Is there anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and motion. Anyone have any comments? Waiting.
I'm struggling with getting there on the findings.
I'm close.
I feel like it's not a 20-acre parcel, and it's not used for farming, so it's not conducive to the 20-acre minimum to begin with, because it's 5 acres, so they can't do what we hope would be done on 20 acres there. So I think that's the key point that I can find.
Yeah, I think, of course, I understand the intent of when they changed it to AE20, and that would be to preserve ag land, and they'd want to make sure that there's nothing contrary to the objectives of the general plan. I think in this case, this would not be contrary to the objectives of the general plan, mostly because of the size and the use of the property now. You know, granted, they probably somebody could farm a couple acres, but they could probably still do that if they were so inclined. But it's not really a viable economic farming unit. So I don't think it's on paper it's inconsistent. But looking at the property, I don't think it's really that inconsistent. So I think I can make that finding. The substantial property right, if it were to be utilized for the intended use of the zoning, I would say then that's a consideration we need to address. But in this case, I don't think that's something that we're looking to preserve. We heard testimony as far as their intended use, And it's not that just because they want to, well, they're not creating a second parcel to sell. I mean, that's, we're taking them for what they say, for their word, but there is I feel like there's substantial property right to have family nearby. And so I think I can make the findings.
Did I hear clearly, Commissioner Yule asked about the DRA, that they would not be able to build a residence using a DRA?
There's already two residences on their property. So they cannot use a DRA to put an additional residence. If this is split, then their intention is to build a home.
Right.
And then they would go through the DRA process. At that point, the director would look at that and determine if they're going to use it as intended. You know, it's what the DRAs are for, and have another family member and use it that way. I don't know that, and they would have that option. They said they wouldn't, but there's nothing to keep someone from doing that, at least going through the process. I guess if the neighbors thought there's too many houses in that area, they could raise an objection on the DRA, and it would come back to the commission. So I'll make that motion that the required findings can be made as stated, and move to approve variance application number 4144, subject to the conditions of approval and project notes listed in Exhibit 1, and direct the secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the commission's action. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. The chair made the motion to approve, and Commissioner Yule made the second. Is there any discussion? Take a roll call, please.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Yule?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
No.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Chata is absent. Commissioner Wolf is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hill?
Okay, this motion passes. It's final unless appealed to the Board of Supervisors. It passes 4-2. Move on to item number 4.
Regular agenda item number 4, variance application number 4145 and environmental review number 8342. Filed by David Harler Jr., proposing to allow the creation of a 2-acre parcel from an existing 16.3-acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the east side of South Fowler Avenue, 615 feet south of East Rose Avenue, approximately 2.6 miles west from the nearest city limits of Selma.
Good morning. You can see here this the area around this parcel, and this parcel is zoned AE20. The parcel immediately north and immediately south are also owned by the owner. They created the substandard parcels through home site provision and through a financial means. The applicant can assert more later on, but these eventually were created via certificate of compliances. But in general, the parcels surrounding this parcel are greater than 20 acres in size. There were three variances that were recommended for denial, but were subsequently approved. See here, the applicant originally had a parcel here, a first parcel and first parcel, a second parcel. This was subsequently approved through a different mechanism, not through a variance, but the subject parcel in question wishes to create a second, a 2-acre parcel and a subsequent 14-acre parcel. The applicant does not qualify for home site provision because the parcel itself is less than 20 acres in size. As you can see here, the subject parcel here, this is the applicant's desire to split off this portion from the agricultural area. We find it's not a unique circumstance. The applicant has already had a home site provision given and another one given as well. It's not deprived of any special rights. The applicant has other mechanisms in which to lease the land for farming. They do not need to split their parcel off for ag purposes. Granting this, we would consider this a special privilege, and we recommend that the planning commissioners deny this application. The applicant asserts that staff wants to once again reiterate that personal circumstances are not unique. Having one's desires to split a parcel off for a family is not a unique circumstance. Therefore, we recommend that the planning commissioners deny this application.
Elliot, can you put that one overhead that showed where you showed satellite view?
Oh, this one.
And then you pointed out where they want to split.
Yes, this is the portion in which they want to create, I believe.
Okay, but the portion they want to create, go back to that. Well, I'll use that one then.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the house in that picture?
House is here, so they want to split it off here.
So they want to take the entire road frontage.
That's correct. They meet the road frontage requirements.
Is that an issue, the road frontage?
No, the road frontage is for two parcels, less than 2 acres. It uses the rural residential provisions, so it meets the 165 feet of road frontage that are required for substandard parcels.
And where's the access to the property behind it then?
They would most likely have an access easement from this parcel.
That would be the only way to get to that?
That's correct.
And that's on parcel that they wish to split off. It's not on the adjoining parcel that's already created. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And what are the sizes of the other two parcels that were created before?
Look like the approximately less than an acre in size, the other two parcels.
And when were those split?
One was split in the 1980s and one was split in 1996.
What was the minimum size then that you could split off?
I believe it's 2 acres. One of them was used for financial reasons. The other one, if for a home site parcel, it's no greater than, I believe, 2.5 acres or 2 acres size.
So you said it's less than an acre. That was okay.
That's correct. Yes. You have greater than 2.5 acres. You can't. That does not qualify for a home site provision.
But what's the minimum?
The minimum. I'm not sure what the minimum size is, but we have a maximum size of, I believe, 2 acres.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Thank you, Elliot. Would the applicant please come forward, state your name and address for the record, please?
Hello again, Elvia Lopez with Central Valley Engineering and Surveying, 2511 Logan Street in Selma. I am speaking on behalf of my client, who is also here, Rosemary. We are proposing to split her land into two parcels. One parcel, about 2.25 acres, with an easement allowing them to access parcel two, 14.3 acres. The purpose of the split is Rosemary is looking to retire and no longer able to keep up the agriculture or maintain the agriculture. So she wishes to bring in her daughter, split the land at the front to create a home for her and therefore her daughter to continue the ag that they currently have at the back for the 14 acres. There is a proposed easement from South Fowler Avenue so that the back portion will have right away from the road from there. Also, the split of the land will create no hazards to the neighbors, and if approved, the client has complied to will comply with all of Fresno County requirements.
Which Does Rosemary live in one of the houses, one of the lots that was created before? Okay, we'll have her come up then after you speak, if that's okay.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions of the speaker? Do you have anything else to add at this time?
That's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next speaker, please, and state your name and address for the record, if you would.
Hi, my name is Rosemary Cordero. This is my husband, Juan. Good
morning.
And we live at 11624 South Fowler Avenue in Selma. And we've lived in that property since about 1985. And I'm just going to read my notes so I don't forget anything. And initially set up our mobile home on the property, which includes a well and septic tank. Around 1995, we built a home. We gifted ourselves, at that time, they allowed us 1.38 acres. We set up a home in parcel. I'm sorry, I'm not good at reading maps. So the one that's 1.38 acres, that's where our home is.
Are you the one south?
Or south of it.
Yeah. South, okay.
So the reason we moved out of the mobile home was that it needed too many repairs. So we chose to sell it. So now it's just the septic tank and the wells. The well is there. I've lived out there next to that property since I was about 3 years old. And my parents lived there. They still live there. My dad's been a farmer for over 60 years. And he owns the parcel next to us. I basically only know country life, but I've never really lived in the city. And I love living on the farm. After living out there for 62 years, I'm planning to retire this year. And so my husband will probably retire next year. And so we've enjoyed farming, even though prices on raisins for the last few years hasn't been that great. I don't plan on selling at all. But I do want my daughter to live there. And she's only lived out there in that home all her life. And so we don't, pretty much we basically plan on dying there, right? And so I would love to see my daughter next door, of course, but also that she would continue to farm the land and continue the legacy of the farming there in that property. And I think the granting of this variance will not harm anyone, you know, any of the neighbors or anything. And that's it.
Okay. I just want to maybe clarify a few things, and maybe if you can use the pointer.
Okay.
So I understand the way the property is shaped now, and you want to split off the one block that right there that just go up a little bit right there. That's the one that you want to split off, correct?
That's the one. And the only reason I recognize it really looking at it is 2.25 acres.
Okay. Now, if you go down, there's about one acre parcel there. That was created years ago. What's there now?
We live there.
We live there.
That's where you live.
Okay. Uh-huh. They built us there.
Okay. You said there was a septic tank and a well.
It's here.
That's there. And there's no mobile home there now.
No.
Okay. And then going up to that parcel, what's there? Is that yours also?
That's not ours.
Was it ever yours?
That is the neighbor's.
Okay. Mr. Cordero, give your name for the record, too.
My name is Juan Cordero, and that property there belongs to our neighbor. I think it's like maybe 2 acres, maybe an acre there, and they're fenced up all the way around.
Okay.
Was that ever
part of the larger parcel?
Originally, this whole property was the owner of this, but he's long gone, and so he sold it.
He did the split on that.
Yeah, he did.
He owned the
Jack Smith, I think his name.
Probably
was.
Owned the entire 20 acres.
Yes. Yes.
And then he sold. He kept the 1 acre or the
north, for his home.
The top one for himself.
Yeah.
Created the parcel where you live now.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. then you're and you have the balance of the property, and your desire is to. Right now, there's no home on the larger parcel.
Can correct? We go to the aerial yeah. view so we can see where the homes are?
Okay.
Thank you.
See the huge horseshoe shape right there, our driveway, that's our house. And then south of that is the property right there.
That's where that's the mobile home used to be on 11640 yeah. South Valley.
And there's nothing there now?
No.
But that's a separate lot?
My father-in-law's north on that.
But I thought the neighbor originally owned it was north. Side.
I'm sorry.
Right here, there's the house right there.
Oh, that's the neighbor
house where Jack Smith used to live.
That was part of all this.
The property because my father was right there, and he said buy the property, so he bought it. And Jack carried the contract, got it from him. He retired after 100 years and moved on, sold the property to somebody. The son-in-law came in there. Then he sold it to somebody else, and that's where it sat
so
there.
Why are our maps not?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make any sense. Can you go back to the other map, the parcel map? Okay. So
it seems backwards.
It's backwards. So the bottom parcel.
It's upside down.
No, because Fowler's still on that side.
Yeah. So Fowler, this whole property is backwards. Because our house, so my parents live here, and we live here.
Okay.
And this would be here, and then that little portion right there is over here at the end of the 2.5 acres that they.
So that bottom lot, the parcel map 5127, that's the neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one is the neighbor.
No, down. Down. That
this is where that neighbor
the house is where
who prepared this?
I didn't.
So go back to the aerial. Okay. So your parents are up there at the top.
Here.
Okay. And then you live there.
Here.
There's nothing there now.
Mobile home used to be here, it's gone.
Okay.
And this is where we want to build my daughter's home right here.
Okay.
And it would go all the way to here.
Okay. So this is.
And this is Mr. Jack Smith's old home here. And.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And if.
Again, you're the one with the circle drive.
Yeah. Yes, this right is there. Ours.
That's yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
11624 South
Valley. Is that part of the parcel you want to split off?
No, that's
no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Okay. What is it?
So they are the north. They would be in the north parcel then, on this.
So
on exhibit 6.
Yeah. Okay. So why if there's no mobile home there, then you can by right build a secondary house, right?
I don't know. I tried to do that. Yes. I called and they told me no, that we couldn't do that, that we had to go through variance.
Okay. Let's have Mrs. Cordero speak just so we don't go back and forth, so it's clearer for the record. So yeah, that I understand the question and maybe want to pursue that. So you would be. So right now, you have your house, that other lot is owned by the neighbor, and then you just want to build a house. You want to create a lot so you can build a house for your daughter, and you were told to do that. To create a lot, you would need to do a variance.
Mm-hmm.
Staff, was there another option for them? Would it have been a DRA?
Yes, I mean, as stated earlier, if an applicant wishes to have a secondary home, they can go through a different process. That's through a director's review and approval.
But it's not a secondary home because
there's no home on it.
There's no home on it.
No home on it.
There's no home at all.
If it's the first parcel, if it's the first one, it's by right. There's no entitlement needed whatsoever.
So they don't even need to go through a DRA to build a home.
Correct.
So they can build a home without splitting this lot.
Yes,
that's correct.
Mm-hmm. They can build two homes without splitting this lot.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Is that news to you?
Could they build a home on the lot that they're on?
No. Yes.
Secondary home.
Yeah.
Any lot size that meets all the minimum standards can have a home by right. And subsequently, based on the size of the parcel, in this parcel in particular, they can have a secondary home through a DRA in upwards of 2,000 square feet per home. That's a different process. The variance that we're in question now is for parcel creation. It's different. It's a different procedure.
So the property that's... Well, their address is 11624 South Fowler Avenue. Is that correct? The property that is 11640 Fowler Avenue, that's the parcel you want to split off.
Yes.
And that's where the mobile home was.
Exactly.
And your house is not on that parcel.
No.
You own the balance of the property, which is about 16 acres or so.
Right.
Staff, maybe you shed some light on it. Is it, did we miss something? Can they just build a house on their property? The balance.
The information we have is what was presented to us by the applicant. I realize the owner is not the applicant, but they presented this information and their desire to subdivide it. They're presented with the other alternatives. I don't know why they didn't understand those issues. Not part of that earlier conversation, but that is an option they have.
So the applicant that filed is no longer with the firm, correct?
They're no longer, the applicant, David Harder,
longer or with Harler, firm.
We have a different representative now. Mm-hmm. So maybe something got dropped in the process, I don't know. But I guess where we're going, and I don't know, I'm not speaking for the other commissioners, but we still wouldn't, if you wanted to split that property, we need to make the findings, and the findings have to go with substantial property right, preserving the ag land, something unique about the property. What makes it a little bit more difficult in this instance for me is that you have that right without having to split the property. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would matter, as far as my daughter getting a home loan, construction loan, does it matter if the property's not in her name?
You can, the fact it's not in her name could be an issue, but I couldn't answer that. Maybe staff could, but I think they do have, or financing purposes, you can create a parcel temporarily create the parcel. But staff, could you address that perhaps?
You're correct. There are certain mechanisms on the tax roll where you can create tax parcels, not a legal separate parcel. But again, I'm not a land use attorney. Don't even look like one. regardless of the black suit, right? but they would have to investigate those. But again, those issues are personal circumstances. Everybody has personal circumstances and desires. A variance is not relative to those issues. This is a quasi-judicial process, not legislative. We're supposed to look at the facts. Does this variance show a circumstance where these people are deprived of the right that other people have because of the conformity of their parcel? Staff wasn't able to see that.
Okay. I guess I think staff answered the question. I don't have an answer for you as far as that to say definitely yes or definitely no. but it does appear that, you know, you still have that right to build. You'd have to pursue the issue of a financing parcel or whatever the term would be, someone higher up. So at this point, we're still considering the variance, and that's on the table right now. And looking at that, was there anything else you wanted to add with regards to that?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Can I clarify?
Yes.
I just want to clarify with you all. You were not aware that you could just build a house there without coming through this process until right now?
No.
Okay. So it's going to be hard to make all the findings here for us today, because like he said, you can go ahead and do this without us voting on this today. So you have the option to continue this and check back with staff and check to bring it back to us or withdraw it at some point. So you can I ask them if they would like to do that today instead of us voting on it?
Probably we need to vote on something. Would you say, council, or
do you want to suggest a continuance, which you have in the past on things when there's lack of clarity? You could make a motion to, if the applicant would wish to, continue it while they investigate these other issues.
That might be something to do, because instead of, I mean, if they decide to just drop this and then find out for some reason they should have pursued it,
right?
I'd be comfortable with that, and I think it would benefit them.
It would give them more time to research and figure out what their options are.
If it's denied, they can't reapply for a year.
Unless it's denied without prejudice.
Right. But then even if that's the case, they have to pay to reapply if it's denied without prejudice, even.
A continuance isn't going to cost them more money though, right?
So continuing it though just continues it.
Right.
They don't have additional fees that they
unless they ask staff to do something, right? Application.
The only reason there'd be is, well, no, there really isn't any option there.
Well, then I think if I may, Commissioner Carver suggests that, and we'll take a vote on it.
Okay. And do you, this DRA that is being referencing, is that something that's done through county, or is it just
the DRA is done through the county, but I think it'd be best to continue this item and then you talk to staff about a DRA or what options there are. You investigate as far as knowing now that, as far as we see, you can build on that parcel. You can look into creating a financing parcel or whatever you need to do. This would give you time to do that. And if you come to some arrangement where you don't need to apply for the variance, then you can just withdraw that application. Okay. If you feel like, oh, you need to still do this, well, you've heard some of the comments today that it might be hard to make the findings, so it may or may not pass. So with that, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Okay.
I want to just add one thing. You might, the Central Valley Engineering, one pet peeve of mine is when the drawings aren't right and it causes confusion here. You know, you guys are paying them money to represent you, and it takes a lot of time to get here, and you're paying fees. So, you know, let's try to get the maps right, and you know, we have other cases to see, and it doesn't do you any good to not have your case presented properly.
Correct. It is correct. We were just on the other map. She had pointed to the bottom parcel and said that's where their home site is, when actually their home site is that top parcel. So the maps are correct.
But the when map, you see the, oh, it's flipped? Is that?
Yeah, it's not flipped. She just pointed to the parcel on the south and said that's where they lived. That's incorrect. They live on the parcel on the top.
Right. Okay.
So
okay.
These are correct. We just had wrong information. Okay. It's just, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Easy to get four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to ask if there's anyone else. Well, I'll ask if there's anyone else in support of this application. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? And let me, are you in opposition to the application or you want to talk on the continuance?
I'm actually here and I may be here at the wrong time. I'm waiting for the fifth item. My name is Dale Mell. I'm a land surveyor, 2090 North Winery. I'm confused as well as everybody else here, the way it sounds, but I had overheard in part of the discussion of the applicant that the applicant home site was on a finance parcel as it is right now. With that, that finance parcel is not separate from the remaining properties, is maybe why that the DRA couldn't come through, or the second residence, or the financing couldn't be utilized. But I had heard something about a finance parcel currently with the applicant.
And just to clarify, the applicant went through a certificate of compliance in the 1990s and was able to resolve that issue. So that is a separate parcel.
It is a separate one?
That's correct.
I misheard. So sorry to take your time.
That's all right, Mr. Mill. So I'll just say that really wasn't opposition to this item. It was clarification. So is there anyone to speak in opposition? Okay, we'll bring it back to the commission. I've closed the hearing. Actually, I think the direction might be, and if Commissioner Carver, you want to make a motion, it'd be to continue it.
It would be
okay. Date uncertain.
To a date.
A date uncertain. Okay. So, yeah.
I'll so make Commissioner Carver makes a motion to continue this item to a date uncertain.
I'll second.
Commissioner Arabian seconds it. Hopefully, this gives the applicant time to figure out what they can and can't do, because I think there may have been some misinformation or perhaps some confusion. So with that, I'll just do a call for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Carver?
Aye. Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Chatha is absent. Commissioner Yule?
Yes.
Commissioner Wolf is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes. So this item is continued to a date uncertain, which means notices will be sent out again if this comes back. If it doesn't come back, then you've made some type of arrangement and notified staff of that. Thank you. Item five.
Regular agenda item number five, variance application number 4146 and environmental review number 8348. Filed by Dale Mell, proposing to allow the creation of three parcels from an existing 9.86 parcel in the AE20 zone district. The project is located on the east side of North Loken Avenue, approximately 967 feet south of East Shields Avenue, adjacent to the city limits of the city of Fresno.
As you can see here, there's an aerial footage of the location. The parcel, such parcel, is within the city of Fresno's sphere of influence and is adjacent to the city of Fresno. Within the city's sphere of influence, the city, the parcel is zoned AE20. It's adjacent to the city of Fresno. You can see here, this is aerial footage of the property. It's the city's intent to have a draft southeast development specific plan that would allow for upwards of 60 development dwelling units per acre. There are in opposition to this project. There was one variance approved within half a mile of this project. As you can see here, for clarification, there are going to be three 1.25 acre parcels, a roughly 4 acre parcel, and a 2 acre parcel undivided remainder. As many variances were spoken to in the past, there are four findings need to be made. Is there a physical circumstance tied to the land that the applicant can prove that necessitates the need to divide the parcels, not into one, not into two, but five parcels? Staff was unable to make the finding. The physical circumstances tied to land are not met. There is no substantial property right tied to the land. The subject property already has a home by right, and they have the option to have a secondary home through other mechanisms. The footage, area footage of the proposed development, not unique. There's no property right deprived. Granting this would be a special privilege. And it is contrary to both the City of Fresno and the County of Fresno's general plan in two part. County of Fresno, AE 20, 20 minimum size parcel. City of Fresno, they have a development area that's inconsistent with what they propose. City staff will further comment on this as well. So staff is unable to make all four findings, and we recommend that Planning Commission deny this application.
Five parcels we're talking about then?
That's correct. There are five parcels, three 1.25 acre parcels, parcel 1, 2, and 3, a fourth parcel, 4.1, and the undivided 7 remainder, which is essentially the fifth parcel.
Yeah, no, I see that in Exhibit 6. I was just reading on...
The project description was needed to be tweaked a bit. That's correct. Yeah, so the project description should be labeled as three 1.25 acre parcels, four, okay. And two.
I just started thinking there's correct. Three parcels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's three 1.25 acre parcels, 4.1, and a remaining 2.0.
That's correct.
So you're going... On the 9.86 acre parcel, you're talking about five. Let me ask a question, if I may. You have what the city, and is this the one we had the city letter?
That's correct. It's an exhibit 8-9.
Okay. So the city letter.
This one.
Is there another letter?
One is from, this is from the school one.
That was for the first one. So the one in our packet, they're opposed to it. But what was the, if annexed to the city, how many units can there be on that 9 acres?
Appears to have the density range of up to 30 dwelling units per acre. And one of the issues is if the applicant does get this approved, it proves difficult for city staff to redevelop the parcels as they're burdened with substantive parcels that would not be amenable for annexation.
Do they have any other reason to oppose it rather than it just be difficult for staff?
They may certainly answer your questions you have. They're in the audience today.
Okay, that would be fine. Any other questions of staff? Thank you. The applicant come forward.
Commissioner Chair, Commissioners, my name is Dale Mell, M-E-L-L. Hopefully I'm a little well. Better burst for this application instead of the other. We do have an unusual circumstance here. The owners went down, talked to the county and filed the pre-app review for division of the property to create home sites for their family members. And the comments came back from the county was file a variance. Variance for the application to create the multiple parcels like we're showing right now. So it's identified and supported by staff initially to go ahead, okay, we'll file your application. We can all see that the property from the aerial images we had is vacant or fallow ag ground. It's substandard to the 20 acre parcel zone it is now. And it has not been farmed for considerable years. We look at the city zoning as the letter supports that it was 16 to 30 units per acre development. A proposal of this with this application would be denied by the city also because it's substandard as far as density requirements. We can all look at the need for consolidating and retaining densities within the growth areas of the city, but I think if we look at the densities that's being identified here with the city's planned, although I don't know if it's really perfected yet as far as the final zoning or a specific plan for the area, that we have a density that probably won't be met or needed for this in the next 20 years. 16 to 30 units per acre is pretty high density, multi-level living environments that could be experienced in the future, but this remote area may be an extended period of time. The owners would like to, as I mentioned, the intent of this was to have build homes for family to be on. They don't fall within the AB 8 and 9 that allows the multi uses for residential because of the ag zone district it's in right now. So the best scenario that could happen, and it would be limited because of its 9-acre size, would be have a DRA that said one additional unit. What we're attempting to provide here is that opportunity for multifamily members within this area on the ag property on this 9-acre parcel. The Land Division Subdivision Map Act does give us an opportunity to create 4 parcels for sale, lease, or financing. We are proposing 3 1.25-acre parcels, a 5-acre parcel, and the 5th parcel is identified, which is not considered a parcel, but is a remainder of the property, would be held by the current owner with the existing residence. That concludes my presentation.
Mr. Mel, when you said not considered a parcel, you're just saying you're not creating. It's still a parcel.
It's there, but you say at
it's the first or the fifth, but you're creating. You want 4 additional parcels.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions?
You said that staff recommended the variance, and I'd like to hear a little bit more from staff, because to me this is a huge, huge, huge ask as a variance, and I'm not sure if I get there even on a general plan amendment or rezone, but wouldn't that be the proper channel to go on something like this?
If I might, I'm not sure what. Communications he's referring to, if it was something older or somebody in zoning, whatever. We're pretty clear when we work with applicants whether we can support or not support a variance. Everyone is entitled to file an application regardless of whether or not we feel we can support it, that whether or not we feel the findings can be made. So we are clear not to tell people they can't. We have to pay a little bit of Switzerland, but we also try not to falsely entrap people into applications that we don't think are appropriate. That's most really I can say without having specifics in front of me. I don't have his pre-op with me at this point. Rezoning would be the more typical way if you're wanting to change the land use. A variance is not a rezoning. Again, we go back to the same thing. What is a variance? Variance says he has a situation that's unique that other people don't have. There's nothing unique about this parcel relative to anybody else. So whether or not that zoning would be applicable, there's other questions about land use patterns, et cetera. In general, the county also has a policy that we don't try to do urban development on the edge of the city because you need to do that in the city. Because this is why cities will put out letters in opposition, because they're looking for a different density, more consistent land use pattern. They have different development standards, et cetera. Being a former small city planning director, I know that pain of growing out to the edge of a county development, and it just doesn't fit. And you've got 2-acre parcels that are hard to make a subdivision out versus a 20-acre or more parcel. So I get it. But I can't tell you why there was any reference that a variance would be supported. We obviously can't support it.
Any other questions? Anything to add?
In the application package here, that the staff's report that was prepared, there was a comment about rezoning also, that the maybe an appropriate means to divide the property would be rezoning. Maybe it would be appropriate then, as if an applicant approaches the county, as Mr. Randall had stated, that it's not in the county's position to be land management or processing applications within that sphere of influence with the city. It's also identifying maybe if, you know, and stopping it at that point instead of the applicant spending money for the variance. But to come back and address an alternative to the application, the variance application, to state a rezoning would have been an alternative method to do this, is just adding to the confusion of what the applicant can do or process within county. If it's within that sphere of influence, maybe it should be a direction to the county or the city or the public agency that is within the sphere or has that sphere of influence to be able to reach out and communicate with them for annexation. But our client approached us to file the variance as directed by the pre-app review that was prepared by the county staff. So we're just, it would help and not waste time for the planning commission here, is to make sure that just that notice was more detailed and specific as far as the potential for approval on an application like this. Thank you for your time.
Okay, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but sometimes, for example, the previous application, there was some confusion on what can be done. And I think staff is doing its job. When if someone came to staff and said, I want to split this property, so I'm going to do a variance, and they said, yeah, that's fine. And then they go through the process and they don't understand there's another option. I mean, it's their choice to pursue. You've been in the business a long time, so I think your clients would have the advantage of having someone that's knowledgeable on what direction they can go. But sometimes people go in on their own and they don't know the options. Staff, they may interpret something staff says, you know, if they say, oh, you can do this, well, maybe that's interpreted the wrong way, saying you can do it, that gives approval. And I'm sure that's not what staff is intending. They say you can do this. They probably would say this is an option, you can do it, but again, no guarantee it'll pass. Do you have anything else to add, Mr. Mill?
No, sir.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Mill, before you go, could you please give your address for the record?
2090 North Winery Avenue, Fresno, California.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application?
Good morning, Chair, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Israel Trejo. My address is 2600 Fresno Street. I work for the City of Fresno. I'm a planning manager in the planning department. As Mr. Rakusin explained, this project was routed to the City of Fresno for comment, I want to say, in early January. City of Fresno provided a response. It's Exhibit 9, response dated January 24th, 2023. A couple comments in opposition. The existing general plan requires 16 to 30 dwelling units per acre. So that's existing. City of Fresno is working currently on the, on SEDA, the Southeast Development Area Plan. That's expected to be approved later this year. A little bit change in density in that. That actually proposes 8 to 60 dwelling units per acre. So because of that, the City of Fresno is in opposition of this variance. Thank you, and I can answer any questions if you have.
So just to be clear, the City of Fresno's general plan currently recommends the 16 to 30 units in this area, but this area still isn't under the City of Fresno's general plan. It's county, correct?
So there is, it is in the sphere of influence of the City of Fresno. And okay. When there's property within the sphere of influence, there are planned land use designations. So it is the property is currently in the county, but right. It's in the City of Fresno's sphere of influence.
Experience. And then if the SEDA plan gets passed, then it's just going to increase. So what we're seeing across the street is what's really planned for here. Is that correct?
So the SEDA is proposing 60 yeah. dwelling units per acre.
So that would look more like Exhibit 8, just so we can get an idea.
Yeah.
Exhibit 8 here on this side of the street is probably more what's planned for across the street.
Yes, that development's probably about 7 to 8 units per acre. I would say that the property across the street to the west, that's probably that density there. So it'll allow that all the way up to 60 dwellings per acre, so a multifamily.
Okay. I think that's a good clarifying. Thank you for clarifying.
Question as far as projections are concerned for annexation of that area, is that what is that timeline?
So you know, there's different ways of annexation. Either, you know, the City of Fresno, I don't think there's anything finalized yet. You know, the city may take, you know, quarter sections at a time, or, you know, property owners can also submit for annexation to the city.
But no pending or drafted annexation applications through LAFCO or to the county in the works?
Not for this subject property, no.
Okay.
How far does the City of Fresno, the sphere of influence, go? I mean, our map just shows it cut off, and I'm just imagining it goes farther than what we see. And let's see, I don't even know what street it shows on our map it goes to.
So this would be, I didn't turn my computer on.
You'll be very loud. Exhibit 2, if you would. So you have DeWolf, Leonard. Not sure what's.
Mr. Rickerson, do you know the eastern boundary? So we're right at the western boundary. So it would be at least.
I know we're at the western boundary. I was just wondering how far it goes to the east. Because
it goes past DeWolf. It's on Exhibit 4.
What's that?
On Exhibit 4, it goes past DeWolf.
Oh, it goes well past DeWolf.
Yeah.
I was just wondering how far past goes.
You can see it goes past Highland Avenue as well.
Highland?
It goes past Highland as expressed in Exhibit 3.
Okay.
I can actually.
And the only reason I ask is, I mean, there's a lot of AE20 land in there. We don't know how long it would be before it is annexed. So, I think there's nothing to keep. I guess this goes back to a comment I made earlier, and I didn't mean to be flippant about it when I say it's just to, you know, make it easier for staff. I mean, you have a reason that you would oppose this. But since it's not in the county, it's not in the City of Fresno, it's because it's in the sphere of influence and you're looking at future plans that the city is opposed to it. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so
I mean, you would, if it was right now, it's a 9-acre parcel, if it's 2 acres or 5 acres or 1 acre and it's time to annex and acquire property, I mean, someone else will end up paying for the property, but to annex it, is it an issue of annexation or just development costs, or why would the city actually be against it?
So the city of Fresno is in opposition because the proposal is not conducive to the density that's per the existing GP, existing general plan, and the general plan proposed per SEDA. That's why the city of Fresno is in opposition. There's, you know, as you mentioned earlier, there's four large lots and then one remainder.
The city wants more houses there than what the applicant is proposing.
So in theory, if the applicant came in, submitted for an amendment and a rezone to the density that you just indicated from the city standpoint, the city would be favorable of it?
Yes. I mean, if we had an application that was, you know, proposing an amendment, you know, an annexation and something that's consistent with the SEDA, mm-hmm. then yes, it likely would support that. Yes.
Would the city, I don't want to put you on the spot, but to the east of that property, there's a 44-acre parcel, and it's in the zone, it's still AE20. The owner of that parcel could split it by right. Would there be any issues there with the city if they were to do that?
Yeah, we'd have to review it, like to see, you know, exactly, you know, what it proposes. You know, if it, I don't know. I mean, I think if it was, you know, a line down the middle and you have two larger acres that potentially can, you know, meet density in the future, you know, potentially could support it. But not having something in front of me, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? The applicant?
Thank you.
Not the applicant. I'm sorry. The speaker. Anyone else to speak in opposition to this application? Okay. I'm going to ask if... Mr. Mel would like to rebut anything presented by the city. It's time for rebuttal. Then Mr. Trejo, you'll have an opportunity to sir rebut comments that Mr. Mel may make in relation to your comments.
I don't think I have anything to rebut on Mr. Trejo's comments other than the fact that annexing a 9-acre parcel and with that density at this time would probably be inappropriate, would be challenged through LAVCO or city, I don't know. But the growth area is definitely, you know, the town is moving. You know, fortunately, we're in a thriving city and a community, but at this time, no other additional comments.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mill. Mr. Trejo, is there anything you needed to rebut with his comments? Okay, thank you. I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Any discussion?
I think this is just a really interesting one because we've got City of Fresno sphere that's moving, but it's not yet. Sort of like similar to last meetings, it's not yet. The city's asking for larger density. The county is recommending that we don't approve this because it's too much density, right? So it's everything's kind of contradicting right now. I think for the sake of what this property owner would like to do and keep family there, they're increasing the density, not at the rate that the city of Fresno would like, but way more than the county would like. But they're trying to keep half of it is going to be to keep family together and build there. And then the other 4 acres is going to be probably to sell off to be subdivided even more so and have a higher density there in the future. I feel like I can find where this is a good balance between what we currently have and what is coming. But I don't know how to necessarily make all the findings.
I think I could make finding 3 and 4. It depends whose general plan you're talking about. In this case, we're talking about the county's general plan. And I think there, seeing what is down the line, I can make that finding. I'm having more trouble with 1 and 2. So, anybody else has any comments?
I'm
I'm struggling with the findings. I don't like using a variance for this, as I expressed earlier. And I also, from a planning perspective, when you look at that, I appreciate the city of Fresno in doing what they're trying to do, because if you look at 30, 40, 50 years, as the density of the houses goes around, you're going to have this island there. And we see this, we've seen this before. And I think it's an opportunity for good planning to say, well, let's wait and then let it be consistent with Fresno's general plan. So for me, I'm not able to get there on a variance.
Any other discussion?
What I see is that we need to still keep our farming either rural, residential, not. I know that cities going east, but that's where all the farming land is, the extra rich farming land. And it seems like developers or the cities want to eat this up, and then there's not going to be any more farmland. So we have to make some decisions here. Do we move things along and let them eat it up? And then eventually this valley won't have the farming and we won't have the produce. Now here you have families that want to be rural residential and not high density and compacted. The city's going to have to look and go other areas that's not eating up the farming, whether they think it's rich in the going east, they're going to have to go north doing something else, because it's not in the best interest of this whole valley, this whole community that we serve, this region, if we keep eating up the land for high houses. And so they may have to say going north or going south, whatever you can do, but stay, the east is where the farming is, the most of the farming. And so I would rather have, like Commissioner Carver said, I would rather have the smaller rural residential. I would consider that being farming rural residential than versus high density coming in. And they'll just have to work around it. But the city's going to have to take the city of Fresno is going to take some different looks at how they're eating up the land.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, entertain a motion. I don't think I can make the findings, unfortunately. I guess sort of ironic, Commissioner Hill, if the city hadn't, would you, no, I don't want to ask, put you on the spot. I'm just, because I guess when I'm looking at it, I'm not really taking the city of Fresno's comments in, well, I'm considering their comments, but that's not the reason I don't think I can make the findings. So anyway, I'll entertain a motion that can be found on page 9 if anyone wants to take a jump.
I'll make a motion to recommend staff, as recommended by staff.
And that's to deny. Okay. So Commissioner Arabian made the motion to support staff in denying the variance as recommended. Is there a second? I'll second that. We will have discussion now. Yes.
Another option than variance.
Well, I mean, normally you go through a home site provision to retain the land and for the family or DRA, but in this case, it wouldn't apply. The intent for them to create higher density would be a rezone or another appropriate method, but through a variance, we're looking at this strictly through a variance, and through a variance, they can't meet the criteria. That's correct.
But the point being is that if they do want to change the density of the land use, which is intent, not that they have a unique circumstance, then yes, the variance is a proper mechanism. Whether or not that's supportable, that's a separate question for another day.
Okay. Any other comments or discussion? We have a motion by Commissioner Arabian, and I seconded the motion to deny.
If the denial is not approved, is that a, is it passed? Is it
no, not necessarily? We have to have another motion.
Okay.
The denial is not approved. If we, no, he said if it's not approved, if the motion doesn't pass. Right. Okay. So if the motion to deny fails, someone wants to try to make a motion to approve, it's up to them. Correct? Okay. If there's no other discussion, roll call, please.
Commissioner Rabian?
Yes.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Chatha is absent. Commissioner Yule?
Yes.
Commissioner Wolf is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
Okay, this motion is denied following staff's recommendation. It's final unless appealed to the board. Okay, item number six.
Regular agenda item number six, variance application number 4147 and environmental review number 8351 filed by Dirk Pershall proposing to allow the reduction of a required setback, leach field encroachment, and the creation of a 1.68-acre and a 37.3-acre parcel from an existing 38.98-acre parcel in the AE20 zone district. The project site is located on the northwest corner of East Huntsman and South Porter Avenues, approximately 1/2 mile north of the Distillery County line.
Elliot, let me just note that Commissioner Yule needs to leave, but we still have a quorum.
This variance is unique because this was approved in 2015 by the Planning Commission. However, if a variance is approved, the applicant has 2 years in which to file for a mapping procedure for it to be finalized. Circumstances prevented the applicant from doing so. Therefore, the variance expired. The variance is going through another one. However, the circumstances have not changed since. Location, the applicant is located in an ag area. Majority of parcels around it are similar in size. As you see, the approved variance, the subject parcel was approved in 2015, with the subsequent parcel approved as well. You can see the parcel. One addition that the applicant is requesting is to waive setback requirements for the proposed encroachment leach field. You can see here, this is typical of a home site parcel. However, the going through a home site revision would not necessitate going through a variance. The applicant does not meet those findings. Going through a variance, these four findings that need to be met are not. There's no unique circumstance tied to the land. There's no substantial property right the applicant wishes to alleviate. And this is a granting of a special privilege. Therefore, we recommend that the four findings cannot be made and recommend that the Planning Commission deny this variance.
Thank you, Elliot. Just to clarify, so we had this variance application 4147, environmental review 8351. In the back of our packet, you have the report from February 12th, 2015, which was at that time variance number 3969.
That's correct. You can see on this page 4 of the report kind of highlights that as well. We recommended for denial for the parcel. There were no changes from 2015 to now. So our motion still stands for denial.
So you have so the circumstances haven't changed, you said, but what was the reason for the environmental review? Is that because years later?
Well, the reason why we're going through this variance process again is that the applicant has 2 years in which to file for a mapping procedure after it gets approved. However, the circumstances prevented the applicant from doing so. So in order to have this go through the process again, they'd have to go through another variance, which is here before you. But the circumstances for the findings that would need to be made are exactly the same as before. There's no special circumstance tied to the land. And
I understand. Yeah. I'm just asking why there wasn't an environmental review back in 2015.
Why there wasn't an environmental review? There's no, because variances typically are exempt from environmental review, common sense exemption.
Why is there one now?
There isn't one. There wasn't an initial study done.
We have an environmental review number, but it refers to an exemption. Mm-hmm. So it's just some of the formatting has changed.
Okay.
But in both cases, the variance is considered not significant enough to warrant initial study.
Mm-hmm. That's and then the Planning Commission approved it 8 years ago. So it didn't go on to the Board of Supervisors.
That's correct. Okay. There was no opposition. So they did not necessitate the need to go to the board.
Okay. Any other questions, staff? Thank you.
Thank you.
Will the speaker come up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. I'm Dirk Pushel, and my business address is 923 Van Ness here in Fresno. And with me this evening is my client, the nice young lady there in the fuchsia in the back, Ms. Judith Lee. I know that the commissioners are commonly presented with requests for variances, and oftentimes you can make the findings like today, and oftentimes there's circumstances where you can't. And what happens in those circumstances when you can, people proceed on to a mapping or conveyance procedure because the variance only provides the right to create the parcel. And in this particular case, my client was told by a realtor who was not only unethical, but I think broke the law by telling her that her right to create a home site for herself, this home had been in their property, in their family, since 1984, that she had to sell the entire property to this agricultural interest, and then they would create the home site for Mrs. Lee. That she doesn't have a right to create a home site from property that she doesn't have. But the Planning Commission some years ago unanimously supported this variance request. There was no opposition. As a matter of fact, there was actually letters of support that was submitted. Because Mrs. Lee didn't control the property, she also didn't control the recordation of the parcel map. So if this variance is denied, she loses her home. She doesn't own the home. Sun Power Ag Interest down in Los Angeles owns the home. So we have gone back to Sun Power and we said to them, listen, you've got to give this lady an opportunity to create her home site. So therefore, we're back in front of this Planning Commission asking that you reapprove the variance that you approved some years ago. I understand that you still have to make findings, and I'll go over those. I also provided findings in our response in writing. But essentially, the home has been there since 1984, 49 years. We're not asking to take any land out of production. There's no changes to the driveway, the well system, any of that. Matter of fact, the septic system is as it has been for 49 years. It's a relatively small home, so we don't believe that there's any nitrogen loading issues. We do believe that she has a right to create this home site, particularly under the circumstances where if the variance isn't granted, there'll be a substantial hardship. She loses the home. Staff has concluded that there's no adverse impacts to surrounding properties. They did an analysis in their staff report, and we, of course, concur with that. The fourth finding we also believe can be made because the residual parcel, in other words, the parcel that's left over after the creation of the home site, is about 38 acres. And I want to say for the record, it changes slightly if you calculate acreage on net or gross, but it's about 38 something acres that would be remaining. And it's in agricultural production. So that's really the goal of the general plan. SunPower is farming the property. They're happy to
Pacific farm. Or SunPower?
Sun Pacific.
Sun Pacific, okay. Excuse me. Sun Pacific, yes. Sun Pacific. I'm sorry. Sun Pacific. They're farming the property. They're happy that they have the property. But Ms. Lee desperately needs to have this variance re-granted so that she can continue in the parcel mapping process and have her home. We'd ask that you support the variance request so that we can continue the mapping process. The tentative map has been submitted to staff in anticipation of your action today. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them of me.
Mr. Pushel, so Sun Pacific owns the entire parcel?
Yes.
And is there something that shows that she can make this application?
Yes. Yes. Yes, they signed the application. We asked them to sign the application because it was very important based on their contractual obligations to each other that they sign it, and they have signed it, and they're prepared to sign the parcel map.
Okay, staff here, everything's good there.
We have a copy of that in our files.
Staff.
We can provide one for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Julie, I didn't have any questions. I'll ask if there are any other questions. Sorry, we got to this point, but
Mr. Did Trevor, she sell it 8 years ago? Is that when the...
She sold all of the property, including the home site.
8 years ago. And went through this process.
Was granted a variance. Started the parcel map process, but she wasn't in control of the parcel map process because she didn't own the property.
So now, I mean, they were willing to do it 8 years ago. They just didn't finish the process.
They're willing
to do it now.
That's correct.
Have they been paying taxes on this, or has she been paying taxes on this?
They've been paying, they own it. They pay tax.
She's been living in the house this entire time under some kind of life estate, maybe, or something, or? She pay rent, or she is under the understanding she still owns it, or?
No, well, she knows she doesn't. The circumstances are a little even more broad, Commissioner Abrahamian. I don't know if Commissioner Abrahamian was here, but there was her sister also and brother sold, sister-in-law and brother also sold their property under the same circumstances because they were told the same story that if you sell all of the property, including the home, but they completed the parcel map process. So it's just a horrible nightmare of people that.
Well, it sounds like a special circumstance.
Yes. So, and it's, again, in this particular case, as other people have come before the commission over the decades, if they're not granted their variance, they just go on about their life. But this is much, much different and much more grave. So I thank you for your consideration today and trust that you can make the findings as the previous commission did and let us proceed on with the parcel mapping process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clerkland. Yeah, I might have been here, but a long time ago. Anyone else to speak in support? Is there anyone here in opposition? Anyone in opposition? No. I will close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for a discussion and a motion. I'll just start out, say, based on the testimony and the circumstances, I can make the findings. I'll make a motion then.
I'll second it.
Okay, the motion, I have to read it because it's contrary to staff's recommendation. Move to determine that the required findings can be made and the applicant speaker representative stated the basis for the findings, and I would concur and move to approve variance application number 4147 subject to the conditions of approval and project notes listed in exhibit one and direct the secretary to prepare a resolution documenting the commission's action. So I made the motion. Commissioner Arabian, you're doing the second. Any discussion? The roll call vote.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Chata is absent. Commissioner Yule is absent. Commissioner Wolf is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hill.
Yes.
Okay, this carries 5-0. Go on to item number 7.
Regular agenda item number 7, reports from staff on prior agenda items, status of upcoming agenda, and miscellaneous matters.
Everything all that specific. However, we do have a new staff member, right? You want to stand up, come up for a minute? Ray is already an existing member of our department. He worked for the initially under the architects for community development, and more recently in the roads doing inspections, but he's now with us. So Ray Pereira's, think it right.
Peraza,
thank you, is joining us, and we are excited because I think he sort of knows the ropes of what the county silliness is all about, but can hit the ground running fairly fast and be contributing to these meetings shortly.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's all we have.
You have a speech?
No, I did not have a speech planned.
I told him to bring donuts, but he didn't.
Oh, boy. Okay. Commissioner Chata is in here, so I don't know that we can adjourn. Okay, go ahead. We're adjourned.